Book of Luke. Book of Luke, once again, chapter number one. And so far, I've preached, if I've counted right, three messages out of Luke chapter number one. And we're going to continue there today. Luke chapter number one. I preached one Sunday morning on verses 26 through verse number 38. And then last Sunday, we preached in the morning on verses 39 through verse number 45. And then Sunday night, I preached on verses 46 through 56. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, we're going to try to preach on the remainder of chapter number 1. That's verses 57 through verse number 80. And so this morning, we're just going to read, though. We're not going to read all those verses to begin with, but let's just read verse number 57 down through verse number 64, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And you really help us pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts and have His way today. Luke chapter 1, verse number 57, the Bible said, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be here today and for all of the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray and I ask that You would make it easy for us this morning as we look into Thy Word. I pray that You would give great liberty. I pray, Lord, that You would be glorified and magnified and lifted up. Lord, that's not something I can do in and of myself. But I pray and I ask that the Holy Spirit of God would just give great liberty. I pray, Lord, for the Word of the Lord to have free course. And I pray that You would speak to our hearts as we've been thinking about Christmas and Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter number 2, what it means. Lord, I just thank You for my own personal life, what it's meant to me. I pray that it's been a blessing to others as well. And so please help us this morning as only You can. I pray You would bind Satan that he'd not be able to hinder in any way whatsoever. And we'll thank You and praise You, change our lives for Your honor and for Your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back and just read verse number 63 one more time. That's where we're going to get our title this morning. The Bible said, "And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all." Now, I want you to go back in chapter number 1 to verse number 18. One of the details that we've not yet covered in this series concerns John's father. His name was Zacharias. He was a priest. He was in the temple when Gabriel came and gave him the news that he was going to have a son. And the Bible said in chapter 1 in verse number 18, upon hearing this news from the angel Gabriel, the Bible said in verse 18, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And we said from that, the only other place in the Bible that you find that somebody is called well stricken in years is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 99. I've read several commentaries that said that Zacharias was 90 and Elizabeth was 89, but the Bible does not say. But they were old and well stricken in years, and Zacharias knew they were well beyond childbearing years. And the Bible said in verse 19, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And so, Zacharias, and you know the Bible says that the Jews seek a sign. They wanted to have a sign. And Zacharias, upon being told the news that him and Elizabeth were going to have a baby, what did he do? He asked for a sign. He said, how shall this be? How is this going to happen? And so there was doubt and unbelief in that question. How is this going to happen? He asked Gabriel. And Gabriel said, well, I'll tell you what, you want a sign? You're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak until everything comes to pass that I've said. So I was reading and studying about that. I thought, you know, there's a lot of people asking for a sign today. That might not be a good idea. It might not turn out like you think it's going to turn out. It'd be far better if we could just take God at His word and say, yes, Lord, that's what you said. I'm just going to believe it. And Zacharias, he wanted a sign. And, well, he sure got a sign all right. He didn't speak. All through Elizabeth's pregnancy, all until the day that he was circumcised, that was 8 days after he was born, and they gave him the name John, and that's what Gabriel said to name the baby, he didn't speak all that time. It's no wonder Elizabeth was glad when Mary came to her house. You remember when we preached on that? She had not been talking with Zacharias. I do believe that they wrote and he could communicate with her, and she definitely knew what was going on. But now, as we come on further in chapter number 1, we find that baby John is swaddled in his mother's arms. Zacharias finds his voice again, and they come and they ask him, this is very odd that they would name a baby not after somebody in the family. It was their tradition, their way, to name their children family names. And so they just automatically assumed that this baby's name is going to be Zacharias. And so when he came to be circumcised, they begin to call him Zacharias. And Elizabeth says, that's not what his name is. His name's going to be John. And they didn't take Elizabeth's word for it. And so they get Zacharias over there. What's this baby's name going to be? And he asked for a piece of paper to write on, a writing tablet. And he wrote out in verse 63, he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. Just that simple little title, his name is John. And I've been thinking about this week and thinking about, does anybody know anybody named John? Does anybody not know anybody named John? John is one of the most common, I would say one of the most common, well-used names of all time since the days of John the Baptist. I mean, there's a lot of Johns. I've been teaching through church history this year, and I was just thinking about all the Johns in church history that we come across. John Clark, John Cotton, John Wesley, and I mean, we could go on and on and on. And then we all know somebody named John. John is a very common name. And so where did that come from? Why are there so many men that are named John? We have several Johns in the church this morning. Well, it comes back to John the Baptist. You don't find a John in the Old Testament, you find a John in the New Testament. But John in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark, John just appears literally out of nowhere. He just comes upon the scene. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, first time the word John is mentioned in the Bible. It said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. All of a sudden in the New Testament, here comes John out of the wilderness. What's he doing? Preaching. He's mentioned again in Mark, or he's mentioned many times after that, but the first time he's mentioned in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 4, it said, John did baptize in the wilderness. Man, here comes this guy out of nowhere, and what's he doing? He's preaching. He's baptizing in the wilderness. And I like what it says in John chapter 1, verse 6. First time he's mentioned in John. It said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this John guy must be important. And then here we come in Luke chapter number 1. And in the book of Luke, we have more details concerning his birth and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ than any other babies that we find in the Bible. And there's a lot of important people born in the Bible. There's a lot of babies that are mentioned in the Bible. But have you noticed how much detail is given concerning the birth of John and the birth of Jesus? And in studying all this, it's really dawned on me that we are jumping ahead when we come to Christmas. We're jumping right into the birth of Christ. And we're pretty much totally skipping over everything that it has to say about the birth of John the Baptist. But the birth of John is important. And the birth of John is linked in with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a lot of baby talk, I said, I think last Sunday morning in Luke chapter number 1. And so we're going to look at John this morning. We come to the birth of John the Baptist. And what does the Bible say here? His name is John. This is very important when we come to Luke chapter number 2. Now, I'm going to give you 5 things about John this morning. Number 1, John was a pear, not a fruit, but one of 2. John was a pear. And what I mean in saying that is this. Think about in the Bible all the duos, all the famous couples in the Bible. You have 1 and 2. What do you mean by that? You have Adam and Eve. They just go together, do they not? You don't think about Adam without thinking about Eve. You think about Abraham. You think about Sarah. You think about Moses. You think about Joshua. You think about David. You think about Jonathan. You think about Elijah. You think about Elisha. You think about Paul. You think about Silas. There's a lot of duos. There's a lot of pairs in the Bible. And when we come to Luke chapter number 1, you have to think about John and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a biblical principle that God does nothing without at least 2 witnesses. 2 or 3 witnesses are mentioned all throughout the Bible, all throughout the law, in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul said, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. And God begins His gospel with 2 witnesses. There's 2 babies. There's John and there's Jesus. We have all these details about their birth and the circumstances surrounding their birth. And there's a pattern in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. It literally begins like this. And I'm not going to go back over these verses, but if you read chapter 1 and chapter 2 when you get home, it starts about John. Gabriel comes and tells Zacharias that they're going to have a baby and they're going to name him John. And then Gabriel goes to Mary. And Gabriel tells Mary, you're going to have a baby and his name is going to be Jesus. And then Mary goes to Elizabeth and they talk about John. That's John's mother. And then they talk about Jesus. And then here this morning we're seeing the birth of John. It goes back to John. And then in Luke chapter number 2, it talks about Jesus. And so we have John and Jesus and John and Jesus over and over. And their ministries are codependent. What I mean by that, no John, no Jesus. Say, how can that be, preacher? Because the Old Testament prophesied that Jesus would have a forerunner. And if there's no forerunner to the Messiah, then the Scripture is not right. John had to come first. John had to come according to the Old Testament prophecy. And let me tell you this morning, the Word of God, the Bible is not a fairy tale. It's the truth. It is God's love letter to us. And we say, how do we know that? It's true. All the things God ever said was going to happen in the past came to happen in the future. The Bible's not a history book. It has history in it, but it's God's book to us. And the wonderful thing about God is God knew the end before the beginning, and He told us many times, this is what to look for. This is what's going to happen. And so John had to come first, and he is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I mean by saying their ministries are codependent. The Messiah couldn't come upon the scene without first being announced by John. And so the birth of John is very important. John was a pair. He's a duo. He's a codependent ministry with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John was a pair, number one. Number two, John was a preview. The birth of John is a preview to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 1, verse number 11. What the Bible says over there, I'll show you what I mean. There's several things that repeat themselves. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord." This is when Gabriel appeared to Zacharias. "There appeared unto him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Have you ever noticed that? The angel said, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And what's happening here is God's business is about to pick up. There have been 400 silent years up to this time. And the first time God speaks from heaven since the book of Malachi, Gabriel comes to Zacharias. He said, you're going to have a son. And many are going to rejoice at his birth. In the Gospel of Luke, there's more than one miraculous birth. We think most of the time about just the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but John being born was a miracle. I mean, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're past having children. But now they're going to have children in their old age. That's a miracle. And so we find this. And he said, many shall rejoice at thy birth in verse number 14. Then if you look where we started this morning, in verse number 57, that's what happened. Now Elizabeth's time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins. Let me just stop right there. Now I guess the most recent birth we've had in church would be Sister Ashley and Brother Curtis. And they had their little son, Urijah. Now, not to put you on the spot, who was there when the baby was born? Your moms and dads. And sisters. And aunts and uncles. When our children was born, hey, grandma was right there. My mom, my dad, and Lynette, and a whole lot of other people. That's who comes when children are born. But look here. When John was born, her neighbors and her cousins, she's so old, there's no mama no more. You ever thought about that? No mama, no sisters. You'd think her sisters would be there. You'd think some aunts, some uncles, something like that. But what the Bible says here, who came to rejoice with her? Her neighbors and some cousins. We've all known some people that they're the last one in the family. Their mama's gone, their brothers, their sisters are all gone, and all they've got left is just some cousins now. That's how Elizabeth was. Elizabeth and Zacharias. And so the Bible said her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. And look what the Bible said. They rejoiced with her. There was a gathering around. There's a lot of neighbors and people came. And boy, I mean, whoever heard of a lady this old having a baby? And man, they just rejoiced with her. You know, that's a preview of what's going to happen when the Lord's born. Look over at chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The birth of this baby is going to bring great joy. And that is exactly what happened. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." John's birth is a preview of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of the same things happened. In chapter 1, verse 57, it said, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son." Chapter 2 and verse number 6 says this, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." There's a delivery, there's a son, there's a bringing forth. There's a naming of the babies. In verse 59, the Bible said, "It came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father, but they really called him John." They ended up naming him John. And in chapter 2, verse 21, it said, "When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus." You see, John's birth is a preview of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both miracles. They were both announced by Gabriel. Both these little babies were named by Gabriel. Gabriel said, "Zacharias, you're going to name him John." Gabriel told Mary, "You're going to name him Jesus." Boy, heaven's involved in what's going on right here. These little details that we might look over, we see the hand of the Lord in these things. Now, John's ministry, I've been thinking about this. Why John? What is so important about John? Look at chapter 1, verse 17. John's whole ministry. Why did John the Baptist come before Jesus? His whole ministry is this. He is to prepare people. He is to pronounce or announce the coming of the Messiah. And John's whole ministry is to point others to the Lamb of God. That is the why of John the Baptist. Chapter 1 verse 17 is actually Gabriel quoting from the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And Gabriel said, "And he," talking about John, "shall go before him," talking about the Lord Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That's what John was going to do. John is to point others to the Lord Jesus. That's why he had to come first. The Bible said in John 1 and 6 and 7, it said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What is the purpose of John? John came to do this. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's the one. Behold the Lamb of God. First thing we find John saying in the book of John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world." That's the whole purpose of the ministry of John the Baptist. By the time you get to John chapter 3 and verse number 30, John said this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You know what that tells me this morning about a successful ministry? Do you think John's ministry was successful? Boy, I believe it was. The multitudes come out to hear him preach. And I'll tell you another way why we know John's ministry was successful. The establishment crowd, they couldn't stand him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they came out to rebuke him. They came out with this attitude. Who's this fellow think he is coming out here preaching like this? Don't he know we're the crowd? And you remember John told him, what John tell him? He said, I'm paraphrasing now. He said, you fellows need to repent. Y'all need to get right with God. That's John the Baptist mountain version. You're not right with God. You need to repent. You need to listen. A successful ministry is this. It simply points to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do? What is our responsibility as a church? What should we be involved in? Everything we're involved in should be pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what John did. Behold the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world. And so he is paired up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And John is a preview of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me go on and say this morning, number three. John is a picture. What's John a picture of? Look at verse number 59. Now y'all stay with me this morning. You're not sleepy, are you? Verse number 59, the Bible said, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Now, John, I got to thinking about that. There's no John in the Old Testament. Where does this name John come from? It is an Old Testament name. It's the name Jochanan or Jonathan. So there's a Jonathan in the Old Testament, but there's not a John. But his name is going to be John. And you know what? You know what the name John means? It means favored of Jehovah. John's name means graciousness. His name means literally the grace of God bestowed on an individual. And Jesus, his name means Jehovah is salvation. Now, how are we saved? We're saved by the grace of God. That's how we're saved. John is a picture of the grace of God. The only way to get to the Lord Jesus Christ is by and through the grace of God. The only way we can say we're saved today is because of the favor of Jehovah God. God's grace in our lives brought us to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to come to know Jesus. You've got to come to know Jesus through the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And they asked Zacharias, they said, what are you going to call him? And he said, John. And the Bible said there in verse number 63, and they marveled all. They were amazed at that. They didn't understand that. Can I say this morning that the world does not understand the grace of God? The world doesn't understand that. You ask somebody that has no biblical knowledge of the gospel of the grace of God, what do you got to do to get to heaven? Well, they'll say, well, you got to do something. I don't know. A lot of people might say, I don't know exactly what you have to do, but surely you have to do something. You got to be a good person. You got to give money to the church. You got to go here and you got to do this. And you got to be baptized. And you got to do a whole lot of things. I've got some good news this morning. Salvation is by the grace of God. And if you got it by doing something, you could lose it by doing something. But it's by the grace of God. Well, to the fleshly mind, that just does not make sense. But I'm glad God saves sinners. Because you know what? Zacharias and Elizabeth, There's no hope for them that they're ever going to have a baby. But Gabriel told Mary over there, he said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." It is impossible for you and I to work our way to heaven, to be good enough to go to heaven, but I'm glad this morning that with God nothing shall be impossible. But going to heaven is purely by His grace. It's by the grace of God. John is a picture of the grace of God because John was a gift to Zacharias and Elizabeth that they could not have any other way. It had to come directly from God. They're unable to have children. In her own power and her own goodness, we're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. But look down at verse number 77. I'm still in Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 77 about John. Why did he come? To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The only way to go to heaven is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because He came to this world and died on the cross for our sins. John is a picture of that. Number four this morning, John is a ponder. Meaning this, when you ponder something, you think about it. You think about it. You roll it over in your mind. You meditate upon it. Look at verse 64, what the Bible said. And his mouth was open. Now, Zacharias has not said anything for months and months and months. Maybe even by this time, might be about a year. Because he was still in the temple when Zacharias, and he had to get done with his duty, and then he came back home. And they had to have time to conceive, and they did that. And then there's the 9 months. So it's been a long time since Zacharias has said anything. But boy, when he did, look what he said. Verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And I've got this underlined in my Bible. All these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. This is not something that was done in a corner. This is not something that was done in secret. Boy, you talk about headline news. Now, I know they didn't have a newspaper, but you don't have to have a newspaper for news to travel fast. And everybody that heard about this, I mean, here's a woman, and we don't know exactly how old she was, but buddy, I'm telling you, she's well stricken in years. And did you hear that this old woman and this old man, not only was she going to have a baby, she had that baby. And they named that baby John. And Zacharias, who evidently he had lost it, he couldn't speak, he couldn't say anything. And at his circumcision ceremony, Zacharias, he breaks his silence and he tells everybody. Wouldn't that be some reason to talk? Wouldn't that be some news that would surely be worth sharing? And so Zacharias begins to talk. It's no wonder that they said in verse number 66, look what the Bible said. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" Now look in your Bibles. That's not a question mark. See, if I just read that to you, you'd think that was a sentence. I mean a question. It is a sentence, but I just said that to see if you're still with me. If I just read that to you, you'd think that was a question. What manner of child shall this be? This is really odd. Here's this woman. She had this baby, this old man and this old woman, and they had a baby. What manner of child shall this be? Question. But it's not a question in the Bible. It's an exclamation point. They knew that this was something that God had done. They knew that they'd better perk up their ears and begin to listen and watch. That was what was going on, because something like this has never happened before. You'd have to go back to Abraham and Sarah. What manner of child shall this be? This guy's going to be special. There's something special about this baby boy. What kind of man is he going to be? They would ponder these things and think about these things. And the Bible said that they, in verse 66, they laid them up in their hearts. Do you know why there's so few people getting saved today? People won't take time to think about nothing. They don't take time to think about heaven. They don't take time to think about hell. They don't take time to think about the Bible and what God has said unto us. But you get somebody that'll really begin to ponder what the Word of God says. And then you get some people that will noise abroad. And let me tell you this morning, that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to noise abroad the good news. That's what Baptists do. That's what John the Baptist did. His whole ministry is about telling and telling and telling. And so they begin to ponder. They begin to wonder about these things. Your life will really never be changed much till you really get in and begin to lay up these things in your heart. And then it'll change you. It'll change you. It's not a newspaper. It's the Word of God. They begin to ponder. John was a ponder. He was a wonder. He was a marvel. There's never been anything like this. Last of all, this morning, number 5, John was a prophet. Now, let's go down to verse number 76. And I'm just going to read the first part of that verse. This is what Zacharias said about him in verse 76. And thou child, he's talking about John, thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. He's the prophet of the highest. He's the prophet of Almighty God. John's something special. All right, now go back. Let's see what he said. Verse number 67. Let's begin reading there. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now, John is a prophet. But at this time, John, he's still a baby. He can't talk. So you know what? His daddy fills in for him. And boy, what he said about the Lord Jesus. That's who he was talking about. Zacharias was talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to preach all down through this. There's a lot of things we could say about these verses. But basically, if we just summed up what Zacharias said right there, Zacharias was telling everybody this. He was saying, I want you all to know that God's schedule, he's still right on the schedule. See, it's been a long time since they've heard from heaven. He said, I want you to know God's not late. God's timing is perfect. He has not forgotten us. He's not forsaken us. What Zacharias is saying here, he's saying John is here, but Jesus is coming. That's what he's saying. Do you know the message of Christmas? I think we miss this sometimes, and it's because we don't lead up to, we just jump right in. But the message of John being born and while these details, the message is this. Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming, and he's coming soon. You better get ready. That's what he's telling them. That's what he's telling them in these verses that we read. Look at verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He's talking about baby John right there near him. And he said, you're going to go before the Lord. You're going to prepare his ways to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Do you realize verse number 80 took about 30 years? 28, 29, 30 years, somewhere around in there. Verse number 80 is a summary of the you don't know anything else about John the Baptist except this. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. But the next time you see John comes out of the wilderness and he's dressed in a camel hair raiment. You know, a lot of times you think, well, that's pretty crude, but go and try to buy a mohair jacket. I don't know. He might have been pretty styling. But it wasn't like everybody else was dressed, and he had a leathern girdle about him. And he come out of the wilderness, and he's been eating locusts and honey sandwiches all his time. But he comes out of the wilderness. And you know, I'm sure they still some people around. They say, I remember old John. I remember when John was born. Well, you talk about a miracle. When John was born, his parents, I forget how old they were. And I wondered, what manner of child is this? What is going to become of John? And here comes John out of the wilderness. And John's a preaching like a wild man. Boy, people begin to listen and they begin to follow John. And I mean, there's a big stir around John. And John tells them this. He says, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. But he's very close. He's coming right after me. The message of Luke chapter 1 is Jesus is coming. He's coming and he's coming soon. And he's our blessed hope. Israel, listen to me. This is John's message. He is all of our hope. This is who we've been looking for and longing for. Boy, won't you get your heart ready? He's coming. He's coming soon. It's not going to be long. He's going to be here. I know it's been a long time and we've heard this a long time. But John's message is he's coming soon. Shouldn't that speak to our hearts today? We've heard this a long time that Jesus is coming. We've heard it, a lot of us, we've heard it all of our lives, but it's still real today. Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Is your heart prepared? Are you ready to receive him? Are you saved by the grace of God? That's what Christmas ought to remind us of. Jesus is coming. You better be ready. That's a whole emphasis of John's ministry. Jesus is coming. Better be ready. Don't look at me, look at him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what Christmas ought to thrill us. But it gets covered up with all this other stuff. And sort of takes a lot of the joy out of it. I'll tell you, there's a lot of joy in it. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, what are you going to name this baby? Well, his name is John, the grace of God. Favorite of Jehovah, graciousness, that's what his name is. That's what our message is today, the grace of God. Jesus is coming soon. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I'm going to ask.